I have a Sopranos moment for you. If you don't watch the show, you'll still appreciate this. And if you do watch the show and haven't seen this episode, this won't ruin anything. But you need to know a little of the plot. Tony is the head boss. His first in line to succeed him is Chris. Chris's girlfriend is named Adrian. Adrian got caught with some drugs, so she had to turn FBI informant. So she's under a lot of pressure to turn in her fiancé and her fiancé's mentor. But obviously she can't share her situation with her fiancé or her fiancé's mentor because they'll immediately kill her. So she's in a stressful situation.
Oof. What's the matter?
I gotta go to the bathroom.
I know, you said.
No, I gotta go. Number two.
I'll take you to your car.
No, I gotta go now. Oh my God.
Irritable bowel syndrome?
He'll know more when the tests come back. I still gotta bring him a stool sample.
Jesus, please.
You were the one who yelled at me to go to the doctor.
I gotta know every detail?
I could be really sick, Christopher. I may have to go into therapy. Plus, they're gonna put me on Prozac.
The diarrhea?
It's to help me cope and handle stress, which is a lot of what causes it.
What do you gotta be stressed about? That bar?
War, Christopher. Middle East.
You don't listen to the president? We're gonna mop the floor with the whole fucking world. The whole world's gonna be under our control. So what are you worked up about?
In the crossfire from New York is Al Franken, and here with us is G. Gordon Liddy.
Mr. Liddy, as an expert in the field, why is it that Bill O'Reilly, a guy who sued Al Franken, and got laughed out of court literally, why he's so successful on cable television, he hasn't done very well on radio? Why?
No, he hasn't. Matt Drudge exposed all his radio ratings, which are in the toilet. I don't know why he doesn't do radio well, but he really doesn't do radio well at all. Maybe because his most nuanced explanation of something is, shut up!
Now, Al Franken, is there any Democrat you could think of who would come on your show and you'd give a hard time to, ask genuinely tough questions? Who would it be?
Russ Feingold. I'd tear him a new one.
Just don't. Well, let me ask the same to you. What conservative would you go after coming on your show?
Let's see. Oh, I'd love to go after Bill O'Reilly.
We show this videotape. It's George W. Bush invigorating America's youth.
Yes.
Invigorating America's youth. All right, here it is now. Take a look. George W. Bush invigorating America's youth.
For this bit to work, I think you need to have some kind of idea what was going on. Bush was given his usual long and boring speech, and there was a kid standing a foot behind him. The kid had been up late the night before, and they woke him up early, so the kid's super tired. So he's just a foot behind Bush to Bush's right, and he's fallen asleep on his feet during the speech. It's on live TV. So while he's standing there, the kid's trying to do everything to wake. He's kind of, not actually, but like slapping himself, and he stretches, and he yawns several times. He looks at his watch. He cracks his neck. You know how you grab your chin with one hand and top of your head with the other, and he went both ways with that. And the Letterman crowd is just going hysterical. I mean, it's obviously a visual. One day we'll have Barkop TV. I'll show it to you. But so the kid, he's an uproar. He's just crazy. The whole audience is just going nuts with how funny this kid is trying to stay awake. Oh, at one point he kind of did fall asleep. He fell asleep on his feet, and then everybody clapped at something Bush said, and he kind of half woke up and half clapped. It was funny. Anyway, so that's what the kid was doing. Now we go back to the Dave story.
Now, the very next day, this appears on the CNN. They roll the same footage we just showed you, and then it's followed up by these comments from a CNN anchor person.
All right. Had a good giggle before the break, that video from David Letterman. We're being told by the White House that the kid, as funny as he was edited into that video.
Right. Okay. So... Now, this kind of gets your nose out of joint. She says, as funny as it was, we're being told by the White House That's the key phrase. We're being told by the White House that the kid was not there and we edited the kid in. Well, that, of course, is absolutely not the case. The kid was right there. This is where it gets a little hinky. They were told now by the White House that it didn't exist, did not exist. Now, shortly thereafter, that statement was amended to this.
Okay, we're told that kid was there at that event, but not necessarily standing behind the president, so you can put it all together.
Okay, so now they've changed their story. The kid was there. They're told by the White House that the kid was there. The White House confirms that, but not standing behind the president. Well, not more than 11 or 10 inches, but he was right there. So I'm all worked up about this. And then later we are told now that the White House didn't call CNN. That was the development the other day. So I'm upset because I smell a conspiracy. I think something's going haywire. I see this as the end of democracy as we know it. Another one of them Watergate kind of deals, you know. And so I'm shooting my mouth off, and right in the middle of the show, I'm handed a note saying, no, the White House did not contact CNN. The White House did not contact CNN. So now I feel like, oh, I guess I'm going to do heavy time.
Time, yeah.
Okay, so now it gets a little confusing. So the next day, I'm told, oh, no, the White House did contact CNN. There's a huge conspiracy developing, and they were contacted by the White House. They were trying to shut CNN up because they didn't want to make these people look ridiculous because they were big Republican fundraisers. And, you know, I'm going to disappear mysteriously. In about 8 months, they'll find my body in the trunk of a rental car. So, well, now... So we're told, despite what everybody says, that they were this high-ranking, high-placed source, unidentified source, says, no, the White House did call them. So now today, and this is a landmark day, whether you understand any of this or not, today is a landmark day, because for the first time in 25 years of network television broadcasting, the first time ever since I've been doing this, someone has apologized to me.
Really?
It has never happened before. It has never happened before. Here now is the CNN apology to me. Take a look at this.
All right. Now we need to do something that you'll probably see on David Letterman later tonight. Need to clear up something from a couple days ago. You might recall that we had some fun with some tape that we took from the Letterman show. It's of a kid who had trouble staying alert during a presidential speech in Orlando last month. So we aired it on this show. And then after we did, they had me come on here and tell you that the White House called and told us it was faked. Well... turns out, due to a misunderstanding among the folks who are usually so fantastic behind me here in the newsroom, turns out that was not true. The White House, turns out, I guess, never did call us about the tape. The Letterman show, if you've been watching at night, strongly denies it was fake. Boy, do they strongly deny that. And we've been looking for our tapes, and apparently we now see no evidence that it was faked. So, Dave, we apologize for the error. I hope that makes things good with us. If you need me to come up and do a stupid human trick or a stupid pet trick, I have that too. So hopefully we'll get okay. We apologize. We will be back after this.
Yeah, thanks. But this whole thing, it just smells. Doesn't it smell a little bit?
Very confusing.
It just smells just a little bit. We were told, and it seems unlikely, and probably they didn't, and I'm being told to tell you that the White House really didn't. I mean, it just all seems just a little too tidy, just a little too neat. And now the guy, the kid in Florida, and his old man was really upset in the beginning. What are you trying to do? Is your bike? What are you trying to do? Well, now everybody down there loves it. Everybody couldn't be happier. Everybody thought it was hilarious. So you see, it's just a little too tidy. Don't you see what I'm saying?
Well, I'm...
Stuff like this never ends happily. Certainly not happily for me. I was waiting for the lawsuit. I was waiting to be arrested. Waiting to be beaten to a pulp. And now, everybody's enjoying... Oh, we couldn't be happier. And by the way, tomorrow, the young man, Tyler Crotty is his name. He'll be a guest on the show right here.
Oh, he will.
But that's... I'm pretty sure that the White House contacted CNN. Here's what I think. The White House contacted CNN because the people in Florida were upset because they're big, huge, fat Republican donors.
We're giving you $4 million, and what the hell, you put the kid on TV and he's making a fool of himself. What are you trying to pull there, for God's sakes?
So now, like Bush don't have enough problems, he calls CNN and he says, well, you better stop that, clam that up, you know, the stovepipe that, or do they stovepipe stuff?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Still do that.
That's what I think happened. And so now when they find out that dumb boy here gets wind of this, then they say, everything's fine. Everybody couldn't be happier. That's my theory.
I see. Like all good liberals, I spent a good part of my day listening to your show, The O'Franken Factor, and I want to read back to you an exchange that took place between you and Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York. This is your pretty hard-hitting question. You said, quote, Senator, you went to Iraq and Afghanistan right after Thanksgiving, right? During Thanksgiving, said Mrs. Clinton. Quote from you, tell us about that a bit. Now, here's my question. You're not simply a liberal, but you're a partisan Democrat. Doesn't an exchange like this give people the impression that you're not going to be tough on Democrats, that you're essentially part of the establishment, that you're playing for a team and not for an idea, and isn't the result boring?
I think that you took that out of context, because I said, and I think you would have liked this better, because I think you left out, I said, tell us a little bit about that, bitch. and you're just taking it out of context.
Look, Al, I have to say, you'd get better ratings if you talk that way.
Here's Greg in Orlando, Florida. Nice to have you on the program, sir. Welcome.
Yes, about John Kerry. I'm not sure that he's going to be as easy to write off as just a garden variety liberal. And I'm wondering if in the debate with Bush, he might ask Bush, just off the cuff, where were you when you were supposed to have shown up for duty and you didn't show up for that year? In the National Guard, when he dodged the Vietnam draft. And, Rush, you never mentioned how you dodged the Vietnam draft.
I didn't.
Yes, you did. You claimed you had a boil on your butt.
No, you see, that's part of popular mythology that is out there that I have not whined nor complained about, Greg. But that is just a bunch of internet BS and hyperbole. Never happened, was not the cause, wasn't the case, Greg, baby. But until you can get your facts straight and stop believing a bunch of internet BS and hyperbole, you guys, see, this is exactly what they've been doing for 14 years, my friends. And we haven't been complaining about it. We haven't been whining about it. And not one thing he said has anything to do with the ideas that are important to the American people today. It isn't about personalities, Greg. Although if it were, you'd definitely be climbing out of a hole that you've just dug for yourself.
Boy, do I have a comment on that. I personally have heard Rush talk about his pilodinal cyst. I don't know how you say it. But I've personally heard him talk about that, and he said his father had the same thing. His father got out of the armed services the same way. And what he's saying, oh, that's absolutely false, that's internet BS. The guy used the word boil instead of cyst, so yeah, technically he was wrong. But Rush's dirty butt got him out of the army, just like it did his dad. I've heard him say this personally. I remember I was driving in Texas, I remember exactly. You know, I've got the picture of the road in my head where I heard him admit this on the air, and he's admitted it several times. He had an infected pilodinal cyst, and that's what got him out of the Army. He didn't even take the physical. He sent a letter, or he brought a letter to the draft induction from his personal physician, his family physician, and gave it to him, and they said, okay, you can go home. So I've personally heard Rush say that, and for him to say now that it's 14 years of internet BS and he's being such a big man about it by not reacting to it or not whining about it. Well, it's true, Rush. I've heard it from you, from your own lying mouth. And because, yes, it's a little embarrassing, but maybe you figured smartly that it would come out anyway and you didn't want to get caught. But now you seem to be reversing that position, Rush. Why can't you just tell the truth? When did you and the truth have this big fight to where you no longer associate with the truth?
Your program.
Al Franken, since when is having a prescription drug problem a moral failing? I thought liberals were always sort of on the side of people who had slipped but brought themselves up again.
Well, first of all, I am on opposite Rush, and we are pledging to do drug-free radio. And I'm not sure that it's actually been done before.
Wait, 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 wait.
Wait,
wait, hold on. Al Franken, if you or someone in your family had a substance abuse problem, would you be offended if other people mocked it?
Well, here's the thing with Rush, and I pray for him to get... I'll answer the question. Unless they were such a public hypocrite about it. When my friend Jerry Garcia died, Rush Limbaugh called him just another dead doper and a dirt bag. And Rush has said over the years that anyone who uses drugs illegally should be prosecuted and put away. Now, I pray for Rush. I pray that he gets into recovery. And as you know, recovery, and when you're in recovery, you take responsibility for your actions consistent with your own values. So I'm praying that he gets in recovery and demands that he be put away for the maximum sentence in the most dangerous prison Florida with other first offenders
It's going to happen at some point. People, I hope, are nicer to you than you are being to Rush Limbaugh. Let me ask you this question. He's on 600 stations. Mr. Liddy's on 180. You're on... how many stations are you on?
I am on 6 or 7.
Really?
Or 8.
Oh, okay. So yeah,
let me tell you,
got a bunch of rich left-wingers doing this as a vanity broadcast. I mean, this is welfare for you, isn't it?
We are building a business. We're building a business, and I don't think Rush started with 600. I think he started with 1. So we're starting with a factor of 7 more than he started with. And we're in New York, and we're in L.A., and we're in Chicago, and we're in Portland, and we're on... satellite, we're on Echo Star, and we're millions of people. You can go to www.airamerica.com. People are streaming us. There's thousands of people listening to us.
Now that John Kerry has had this shoulder surgery, it's very odd. This campaign, the political race, I can't figure it out. You wouldn't think that the Republicans would care one way or the other about his shoulder surgery. But now they're running an ad wishing John Kerry well with his shoulder surgery.
The Republicans?
The Republicans.
Really?
It's very bizarre. Take a look.
Although we've had our differences in the past, the Republican Party would like to wish John Kerry luck with his surgery. Vice President Cheney says, get well soon. President Bush wishes you a speedy recovery. And Rush Limbaugh reminds you that if you get any extra pain pills, hook a brother up.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
So that was show 34. I hope you liked it. Now and then we try to do some new things, try to make it a little different. Truth be known, we can't do the same show twice if we tried. Appreciate you listening. Hopefully you're a subscriber listening to this. If you're not, shame, shame, shame. As you know, there's a bit of time between this show and show 33. What happened? Tommy got a job. Yeah, go figure. So he's working days now, so we're having to produce at night. And that's caused a conflict that we've been able to resolve. So we're going to be producing more at night. And interestingly, that possibly would allow for a little bit of alcohol. Not a lot. Nobody wants to hear a bunch of drunks. But a drink or two often loosens the tongue. So thanks for listening. And we're starting to work on show 35 right now.
Gosh, it would be awful pleasing to reason out the reason for things I can't explain. Then perhaps I'll deserve you and be even worthy of you if I only had a brain.